Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Welcome everyone to today's episode. This is part of our Finance Basics series, where we break down all the basic finance concepts that you may come across in the news every day, but may not understand fully. So this is something that we have picked up on from our degrees and our corporate or non-corporate work experience, and we're excited to break these down. In today's episode, we're going to start with the conversation around economies and cycles of the economy.
So in simple terms, what is a cycle? When we say economic cycle, what is that?
So the economy goes through phases, and phases are basically termed in different ways. One of the ways of terming these phases, there are generally four phases that are considered. And one of the ways that I tend to remember is the first phase being accumulation, the second phase being growth, the third phase being consolidation, and then the fourth phase being correction. So in this accumulation, phase one is flat, phase two is upwards, phase three consolidation is flat again, and phase four is a downward move. And this cycle carries on. You may know a slightly different terminology.
No, yeah, exactly. I think it all kind of speaks to the same. I think the directionality of the market is what drives which part of the cycle it's in. And the most important point I'd like to highlight is that a cycle is a part of life, is a part of the economy, it's a part of everything.
Exactly. It's very similar to a human's learning cycles, energy cycles. You must have felt times where you kind of need to just, you feel a bit blah and you just need to chill. Then followed by a phase of high energy, followed by a phase of just taking a breath and slowing down and kind of just executing on everything that you may have learned in your growth phase, followed by a phase of maybe not enjoying the same learning so much, not enjoying the same things that you were doing previously, going over to then the next phase in life. So it is very similar to any human experience. And like Rupali said, they are natural, important, necessary. So all the hoo-ha about, like, you know, markets going up and down is pretty unnecessary when you accept this.
Kalyani, so why do you think that we should accept a down market? Because that sounds like a bad thing to me. So, or to someone that may be listening. So why can we not just have an up, up and up cycle and all be happy?
Very good question. I think it's unrealistic to expect a straight line as growth for any entity, human, non-human. It would not be sustainable if, I always end up taking this random example, but let's say if we own a bakery and we bake one cake today, two cakes tomorrow, so on and so forth. And at the end of the month, if we end up having to bake 30 cakes, it may be too quick, too soon, too much, too soon in a short span of time. Whereas if we would have taken breaks and maybe done one cake today for the rest of the week, two cakes for the next week, then maybe stabilized at the 2 weeks, and then maybe stabilize at two cakes for the third week. And then in the fourth week, if it's a long weekend, maybe come back to one cake a week. This is a lot more sustainable as a measure of growth, as a way of growth, as we all have experienced in the long run versus, you know, just straight on linear growth.
Yeah, I compare this to Two analogies come to my mind. One is a sprint versus a marathon, where you, in a marathon, you kind of want to sustain the energy, you want to use it wisely, and so that you're in there for longer. And the second one I think about is day and night. So visualize a human and us just working away. And because it's going so well, we want to do more, we want to do more. So we start sleeping less, we sleep less, to a point where you don't sleep anymore. And while you may, even if you remain productive, over time, there's going to be some burnout.
Yeah.
And it won't be sustainable because everything doesn't move in tandem with you. Right. Mm-hmm. I can stop sleeping today, but you can't.
No.
Likewise, vice versa. Similarly, in an economy, there may be one segment of the economy that's really doing well, that's growing, and it's really like crypto, for example. Yeah. It makes me think of those charts. But or anything. But the rest of the world has not yet caught up with it. And so that makes it not sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. And I think every organization, every human, every entity, I'm just going to say that as a broad term, needs to inculcate all the lessons from their growth. And that comes with a little bit of space. If you think about it spiritually, it's about slowing down, taking a pause, maybe even taking a break. And all of this signify what the market shows us, or in terms of companies or organizations, where if they've gone through a big growth spurt or restructuring or whatever it is, then they might need to just take a break, see the effects of that growth, and that might look like a downward move.
Exactly. I think for a company to regroup and reassess what they're doing, so a company that's doing really well may have expanded, gotten in all the software, increased their resources, have like a huge team in that they're working with, built up expenses projecting a similar growth to come.
Mm.
But when there's a slower time, you become leaner, you become, and leaner means not in just job loss way, but yeah, efficiency, your mindset of how you're thinking, you kind of regroup and understand, where do I want the company to go in the upcoming years, say, for example.
Yeah.
So that space also allows a company to do best what they are doing in a better way.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we've well established the case for needing cycles in an economy, as we do with any entity, for a long-term sustainable growth. And hopefully this makes everyone pretty reassured about not being kind of paranoid or anxious around any future phases of downward moves in the market. It's all for the better.
Exactly, exactly. And also today, I mean, you think about it and you say, oh, the markets have moved down recently, yeah, all of that. But look at how they grew in 2020, 2021. So yeah, it was kind of expected, right? Some kind of slowdown in markets and growth was
yeah,
a breather. And a breather means could be an entry point for someone who wants to invest.
So yes,
it's kind of giving opportunity for those that would like to enter the market.
Yes. I think a lot of this is fueled by news and media, but we're going to address that in a different episode, because I think there's a lot of things to unpack around that. But coming back to economy cycles, or any company's growth cycle as well, on a bigger scale and a smaller scale, it works in the same way.
Mm.
And no company, despite the fact that we just mentioned this breather, this downward momentum is necessary, no company would voluntarily kind of start that phase. So what are the forces that lead to these changes from one stage to the other, from one cyclical phase to the other? It generally tends to be demand and supply, right?
Yes.
And yeah, this is Economics 101. Let's go into this. This is something that you're faced with every single day in your lives. What is demand?
So demand is when people are willing to pay for a certain service or a good. And then supply is
when there are manufacturers or service providers that are willing to supply that demand, or yeah, fulfill that demand.
Right. So if you kind of bring it back to, you know, your daily experience of, you know, walking into a shop wanting to buy, let's say, a pack of biscuits, if you see like 200 packs of biscuit there, that may show that there's an oversupply.
Yes.
If the usual standard is about 10 to 20, right?
Yes.
And what that means is the shop owner will be like, oh, right, this isn't selling. Let's have a sale or a discount.
Yes.
So when supply is greater than demand, to increase that demand or to tempt people into buying that product, prices are brought lower.
Exactly.
Up until a point where supply and demand are again balanced, whereby the buyer is happy to buy at the price the seller is willing to sell for a more sustainable period of time.
Yes. So what Rubali is referring to is essentially the law of demand and supply. And formally, it states that when demand is greater than the supply, the prices end up going up, which is something that we notice in every area of our lives. Again, taking the example of buying a house, pretty big commodity. But when the demand of villas in Dubai has gone up in the last few years, compared to the supply, the prices of villas have ended up going up. Versus when the supply is greater than the demand, the prices tend to go down. So again, keeping in the same analogy, the supply of apartments has recently been going up. It tends to generally go up in the region. So the supply is greater than the demand, which is why the prices have either fallen or not increased. And when there is an agreed price for any commodity, from a biscuit to an apartment to bigger things, that level is called the equilibrium. So these are some basic concepts.
And so this law of supply and demand actually plays out a lot in stock markets, bond markets. And essentially, when stocks are rallying, that means a lot more people are buying than those that are selling.
Yes.
And that's what's been happening for the longest time since the GFC, which is the global financial crisis in 2008-2009.
So essentially, it comes down once again to understand on a market level where the supply and demand is. We have to understand what's happening in the wider economy. And for the 10-12 years after GFC, the market saw a big kind of upward move where there was enough demand versus the supply of stocks, which meant there was a healthy participation in the markets. And if you take this on a more micro level, on a smaller level of a company, then this pretty much reflects on the perception of how well the company is going to do. So if Apple is seen to be making some innovative changes or to release a new phone, the perception is that this would lead to higher revenues in the future, which leads to higher demand of the stock. And so the prices increase. Versus if Apple has spoken about a manufacturing problem or a problem with, let's say, semiconductor chips in China or a lockdown in China, that means their factories are shut. That means that the revenue is likely to come down for Apple in the near future, which means that there may not be as much growth, which means that the demand will go down for Apple stock versus the supply. When the supply is greater than demand, the prices will come down. So it becomes a measure of confidence in the company or the market, whichever
exactly
you're looking at.
What Kalyani just explained is basically fundamental analysis of a company, because you're basing your investment decision on how the company is projected to do.
Yes.
So there's a lot more to fundamental analysis, but this is one aspect of it. The other aspect that drives supply and demand of the stock market is how cheaply can you access money to buy these investments?
Yes.
So liquidity in the market.
Yes.
And what drives liquidity?
What drives liquidity is, while we're on this concept of demand and supply, maybe we can go into a little bit of sectors of goods and services, because even that ends up coming up as, you know, essentials, non-essentials, and that's simply just going by consumer usage, right? So essential items are anything that you use on a daily basis, utility items, things like groceries, electricity, energy. Whereas energy, parts of it, at least, healthcare, whereas there are non-essential items, a lot of the tech sector goes into this, which are more wants versus needs. Mm. And this kind of comes up in and around the stock market discussion as well. Yeah, so people would continue to end up spending on essential items despite downward trend, more or less. Whereas with non-essential items, it very much ends up being a demand and supply tug of war.
That's true. So, for example, if you're using a certain brand of soap in your house, you're able to save money. If you feel like you need to kind of tighten the reins a little bit, then you're able to save money by changing the brand. Mm. But you can't stop using soap altogether. So there is a level at which that stops.
Exactly.
But with a discretionary item that you'd like to have, like a new phone or a new laptop or something, you kind of think twice before you that could be something where you do zero spend on.
Exactly.
Because you just make do with what you have.
Yeah, exactly. And this changes from time period to time period, geography to geography. So in one place, let's say, having a woolen item may be a luxury because it doesn't get very cold, whereas in another geography, that would be a total essential. For most of us these days, having a laptop, having a phone is an essential expense, whereas, let's say, 20 years ago, this would be a bit of a splurge. So it comes down to a lot of common sense, I would say. I would like to end this episode with a mention of just the tendency of the stock market in the last 100 years has been to go up more than 70% of the time. And I love this statistic because so many times we carry on hearing a lot of negative news about the stock market, but the stock market has carried on going up for 7 out of 10 times despite all the big crashes, all the big corrections that we know of.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of our financial adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fintastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fintastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.